What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another season of The Game Plan, where we break down DFS and sports betting with sports betting legend and top-ranked DFS player, John Statsational Alessia. We're back for another year. John, you ready for this?
I'm not, unfortunately, but I'm excited for it. You can never be. I'm never ready, and there's always too much going on, man. But at some point, yeah, we got to dive into it.
Things come at you fast, and we are excited. You know, John represents the Sharp app. He is one of the founders and the brains behind most of the tools over on the Sharp app. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. And we are sponsored by Mojo Fantasy this week, and we're going to talk about them a little bit as well. But John, let's get into it. We've got a spectacular game to start off the big weekend of festivities. Thursday night football, Lions at the Chiefs. Chiefs now -4.5. The number keeps moving down. I'm assuming based on the -4.5, this was -7 before the Kelce news. I'm going to assume that the thought right now is that Kelce will not play.
I would assume he's not playing. What's the point, right? What's the point of putting him in there? Tweaked the knee yesterday, hyperextended it. It's moved on that. I'm just trying to see with the, you know, I think it was moving kind of before there too. I got this at a bad line. I mean, I've got it at 6.5. Quite frankly, 6.5, 5.5, you know, you're usually pretty good. It doesn't really matter. 6.5, they're going to have to cover the 6.5. If they cover 6.5, they probably cover the 6.5. So I'm not too concerned, but I did take this game. I did take Kansas City earlier, maybe a week or so ago. And so not great. I wish I would have got the better line, but I'm still okay with it. He's unusual. Very few players outside of a quarterback will move a line all that much, but Kelce's one of the few who will, but I'm still not terribly concerned about it. I think it's probably going to be an overreaction in the market on that game. I like Kansas City here in this game still.
Interesting. I think that Kelce does affect the Chiefs quite a bit, because I think primarily the reason it moved the line is because they don't have anybody else. They don't really have established wide receivers or pass catchers on the team that you could focus on. But you know what? We kind of thought that last year going into the season, but Kelce was the guy, right? So it's going to be interesting to watch and observe and see if Mahomes can pull off his magic if his top guy isn't there and they don't really have any name brand wide receivers. Now, I'm not going to focus too heavy or at all on the DFS options for this game, because we are breaking down a full showdown breakdown for that single gamer later today. And we'll dive in and we'll get the turds and the, you know, the Noah Grays and all that stuff. So I just want to kind of look at some betting angles. I know that you bet the Chiefs here. I don't know that I feel like I'd have regrets now knowing that Kelce's out. I'm not sure.
I'm not happy about it, but I still feel okay.
Yeah. Let's move on and let's talk some main slate games, John. And first up, we've got the Panthers at the Falcons. Really low total, 39.5 points. Falcons home, 3.5 point favorites. Listen, I'm excited about a couple of the running backs in this game. Let's say I like Bijan a lot this year. I kind of like Miles Sanders a little bit, but this game does not stand out for me from a DFS perspective beyond maybe those two running backs. I'm not touching a game with a 39.5 point total.
No, I mean, it's obviously one of the worst totals on the board, worst games from a DFS standpoint. Yeah, like you said, there might be some interest here at the running back position. It's tough with my numbers because you're looking at last year's statistics when I look at my stuff. So kind of going into this season, you have to sort of project. And that's where you're going to get a huge advantage in the betting markets and in the DFS market, where if you are better at predicting a team that you think, or a quarterback really, that you think may be a lot better this year, may take a step up. Maybe there's a rookie quarterback you like, or a quarterback in his second or third year that you think takes a big step up. Then you have an advantage over the field, because we're all playing basically from last year's data. So if by chance here, you know, one of these quarterbacks is way better than the market thinks, I don't think so. I'm not going to take that stance. But if they are and they have a monster day, that's where you're going to have a huge advantage. So that's where you could get a week one sort of wacky stack that hits the millie.
I know you love the wacky stacks, but do you think anybody from this game is going to make its way onto your Millie Maker run?
No. Unlikely.
Yeah. Unlikely. I have to say, Des Ridder was not good.
No.
From a fantasy perspective. last year. And I don't think the Panthers have enough pass catching weapon. I just don't see Bryce Young in his first game. I'm not relying on rookie even a running rookie. I'm not relying on him, but a non-running rookie quarterback in week one in a 39 point total. That's not for me. Any betting angles here? Can you take a shot on either side of this? I kind of think it's dog or pass in a sense that I don't really know who's going to win this game.
Yeah, so I don't love the game from a betting standpoint either. Just the one other DFS thing I would throw in is you have Drake London, right? He gets a high percentage of their targets. He's a pretty high target guy. I know I looked at it a couple of weeks ago. Like when you look at the targets he gets, it's in the elite level.
30%.
Yeah. So if anyone was going to have a breakout type of season, if the quarterback could come around, it's going to be him. So you might get him. I haven't looked at prices. What are the prices?
London is a good one-off. London is in a group that looks really good on DraftKings. He's around 6K. I don't know if it's 5,500, 62. I forget at the second, but he's in a group that looks positive in the sense that like there are a lot of WR1 type guys like Amari Cooper's in that zone. There are enough other what I would call WR1s that London really would need to get into the end zone to be relevant. I'd also remind you a little bit that Kyle Pitts was like hurt for a lot of the year last year. So I do think some, but not too much, but some of that over 30% target share, like he was hitting 40% last season, really. Some of that was because there was just literally no one else to throw to on the team. They don't have a WR2 of note, and they don't have, and when they don't have a tight end in there, it's just London and no one. I don't even know who the WR2 is. I legitimately don't know who it is.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure either.
Like it could be like Odeyus. I don't know who their WR2 is. It's crazy because I should know every WR2 on every team, but I don't know who it is on that team. All right, let's take a look at the next game here. 1 p.m. slate. We're continuing on through, John. We got the Texans at the Ravens. Tough spot for Houston and C.J. Stroud. Ravens are home, 10-point favorites. The new Munkin, high-powered, widespread offense. I'm excited to see it. But are you laying 10? It's got a 43.5-point total, John.
Yeah, it's just not a game from a betting standpoint. I've got quite a few bets already this week. This isn't one of them. So, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna lay off on that. 10 is now, it's down to 10. Did you say 10 and a half?
Yeah, it's just, at 10, minus 10 right now.
Yeah, just looking on the app, minus 10 or plus 10 is where you're going to get it. 43 and a half looks to be the over on that one. And it's gone up since the open, not a lot, but it has moved up towards Baltimore. This is the biggest play for those of you in survivor pools. It's going to be the biggest play. I got a video on that in the app as well that people may want to check out inside the app every week. We'll be doing the survivor video. And this is, of course, the largest spread of the week.
It's a donkey and play, though. It's
not a lot play. Expected out of Houston. So we're looking at this being the most popular, about 30 to 35% of pools. People in pools are going to be taking Baltimore. So if you're in Circa or DraftKings or any of those, check the Survivor video out.
We'll link that in the description. And so check out John Survivor. I am not on the Ravens for Survivor this week. I think there's a better spot. We'll talk about that too when we get to that one. But as far as fantasy angles from this game, John, and DFS angles, it's a tricky one because the Ravens traditionally do not force the issue in games that are non-competitive. Now, they have done it on occasion. And again, this new offensive coordinator might switch it all up. So that's part of my concern is what if this Munkin offense, they just go balls to the wall the whole game, right? And change up what has consistently been an approach that the Ravens use, where when they're well ahead, they sit back, they lean on, they don't want to risk Lamar Jackson running around, getting himself hurt when they're up 20 to nothing. And because this is such a favorite spot, I don't love Lamar at all this week. He's the most expensive QB in fantasy, and I get it. You know, he's Lamar Jackson, and he's debuting in this great new offense, but I am not on board with that. I think the running game is where you want to go in a game where Ravens defense and maybe J.K. Dobbins become the most exciting plays. I don't know how you think in terms of a blowout situation, but specifically with the Ravens, they have not performed well from a fantasy standpoint in the past. Doesn't mean past performance, not necessarily indicative of future result, but they haven't performed well in these spots from a fantasy perspective.
I mean, you know my take on the new age quarterback, this new running quarterback. You know, whenever they get dinged up, you know how I like to fade them right away, because whether they're hurt and they don't want to run, or the team just doesn't want them to run. And I think kind of part two to that is, as these guys get a little bit older and they become more important, you're going to see less and less running. Now, the catch 22 to that, when you're the team, is the whole reason these players are dynamic is because they run. So if you put the handcuffs on them, so to speak, you don't allow them to do what they do, they're not the same player. I mean, even a Mahomes last year getting banged up in the playoffs, like there's a difference in these guys when they don't have the ability to move. Even if Mahomes isn't the runner necessarily from a yardage standpoint as some of these other guys, his whole game is moving in the pocket and running around and creating plays. So with that said, I do think we'll start to see when these guys hit the wall, whether it's by their own ability or the coaching staff changing game plans, it's going to be dramatic. So I don't mind that fade of Lamar here in week one, and we take a look, see at where this offense and what the offense is going to look like. I really think they're going to limit him running a lot more, right? Get players like Hurts and Fields and these guys, they're not there yet, but Lamar's been in the league for quite some time. What year is this now for Lamar? It's been, feels like 7 or 8 years now.
That sounds like a lot, but it's probably 5 or 6 seasons that he's been in the NFL. And you're right. This whole idea of the monkey offense, the spread offense, right? I think he's going to take off, but strategically, like take it like, I'm going to call it like Mahomes plus. Mahomes takes off very strategically. Lamar will have some designed runs in this game, I'm sure, but it's not going to be what we see from Fields or the younger versions or like a Richardson. But more importantly, when the Ravens are up big, that's really when you're starting to like, I feel like if Lamar's having a big game, it's just because he's throwing touchdowns. I don't even think it's going to be from running for touchdowns, because Lamar will be throwing for touchdowns. Again, styling on the Texans just to show I could still do it, but he's a veteran. So like I said, for me, the most expensive QB on the slate, I do not believe he brings 40-point upside in a game like this. So, you know, rip me all you want. But I made a video talking about this already, and, you know, the comments are like, this guy's stupid. He's fading Lamar. What a moron. Okay. John,
with that said, I'd rather play him in a stack than play him naked. Then
you cannot play him naked. Yeah, period. You do that, you're just throwing money away.
Yeah. So,
yeah, no naked.
Yeah.
All right. I totally agree. I think, like I said, for me, the piece from this game are Ravens defense and J.K. Dobbins. I'm not gonna trust any of the Ravens wide receivers. There's just three of them. And I don't know if I was forced to choose one, it would actually be Zay Flowers for me, or like a Mark Andrews, because Mark Andrews will always smash. Zay Flowers, just because he's the cheapest of the trio, and I don't really know who the WR1 is on that team at this time. All right, John, next up, we've got an exciting game between the Bengals and the Browns. We got a 47.5-point total, one of the higher totals on this slate. I believe this number has come in a smidge, but the Bengals are -2.5-point road favorites. Now, John, it's that magic 3, 2.5, 3. Are they trying to suck us into a Bengals bet, sucker bet on the Bengals here?
Yeah, I mean, it always seems that way. It moved from 1.5 to 2.5. So it's actually gone, the line has gone higher from the open. But
in the original, but recently I thought I saw it recently, at one point.
Yeah, it's been, you might have seen a rogue 3 out there, but for the most part, we've been sitting at 2.5 across the markets. But I'll just say I've got some future stuff. Again, I feel like I'm plugging everything, but it's preseason here and we've got all this content on the Sharp app. So in my futures stuff, I'm pretty bullish on the Browns. Browns to, I think the Browns to win the division's worth a couple of dollars. I believe they were, I want to say I got them at plus 350 a month or so ago, or 380, something like that. Tough division, obviously, but you're banking on the fact that Watson is now going to be back to where he was with Houston. I always equate it, and we'll talk about that when we talk about the Jets, where, hey, when Brady, if Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time, he went to Tampa and he didn't look all that great for like 10 weeks, maybe even 11 weeks, whatever it was, in Tampa before they go on and win the Super Bowl. So it does take time. Watson took, he had the advantage maybe last year of not having to play the full season, not exactly the way he wanted it to go, but he got to get in there the last four or five games of the year and started to look a lot better in the last couple of games. I think this year he comes in full training camp with the first offense. There's weapons on this team. I think this is going to be a really good game. I'm excited to watch this one. I'm bullish on Cleveland. I'm not touching the game. I don't like the 2.5, so I'm not going to touch it. But futures markets on Cleveland, I do like right now.
I like it. Listen, we don't know with Watson, and that's the thing. We have no idea. I haven't seen enough. I didn't see enough at the end of last year to know, hey, this guy's back. And now it's a little bit of hope and a little bit of kind of logical maybes, but we have no idea. Maybe he's washed and maybe he just sucks forever. That's in the realm of what might be, but more likely than not, is exactly what you said. He had a proper training camp and he should be flexed, stretched out as you want him to be, and kind of show at least the version of himself that we're used to. And from a DFS perspective, I mean, this game pops. The only thing that I'm concerned about is just the general history between these two teams where, like, the Browns have had Joe Burrow's number a little bit. I have a little bit of concern there, but how much credence to lend to something like that is a real question mark for me. Like, I'm not sure how much to lend to it. Burrow should be a popular play on this slate. We want those favored quarterbacks generally. So if Watson is doing good, I think Burrow is doing better. I like a lot of spots in this game. Yeah, you have to like, I mean, last year, the Browns were one of the worst run defenses, just randomly. And it was a defensive philosophy thing with them. I think they've changed that defensive philosophy, but Joe Mixon stands out as a potentially really good play on this slate. Burrow, you know, if the Browns are going to play man, a heavier man approach, which is what this new defense is set to do. I mean, Jamar Chase is, I think, number two or three in the league against man coverage. So Jamar Chase stands out as a smash play. You know, you had Burrow hurt a little bit during the preseason, which is a concern. On the flip side, so I like all the pieces on the Bengals. And on the Browns, I really like the pieces too. I love Amari Cooper in this spot. I love David Njoku. I think he's a great pay down option at tight end on the slate. And Nick Chubb is Nick Chubb. We know who he is. No competition for touches. Nick Chubb is going to have all the run he can handle. So this game should produce plenty of fantasy goodness. As far as like salaries go, the reasonably priced ones in Njoku and Amari Cooper on the Browns. Bengals, Joe Mixon, I think, is underpriced. And, you know, and your pay up stud option is Jamar Chase. I also want to mention, John, I got a DFS question, but it's been forever since T. Higgins effectively showed up in a winning lineup. Like it's really been once over the last, you know, 20, 25 games. We keep playing him and he keeps getting priced all the way up at a ridiculous level. Do you ever adjust for that in your DFS approach? Like, listen, T. Higgins, if you look at his, here, I'll pull him up, but if you look at his DraftKings scoring history, the number of times he's produced, he is at 6.7K on DraftKings right now. And you could go back like seasons, and there are like one or two games where he would have made that.
I mean, last year he got you 25 plus 1, 2, 3, 4 times last year. So, and that's,
we need 28 just to hold the tournament value. And I need 30 plus in order to be helping me win a tournament. So yes, you're correct. He did kind of 3.8x at this salary a couple times, but that's not even a 4x. And I want 4.5x. If I want to be trying to win a tournament, that's what I'm saying. Like the 20s and the 25s and the 24s, that's barely value for a 7K player. 7, 14, 20. We need a 28 just to hold value. So what do you do with that? or you just like, it kind of reminds me of Keenan Allen, who has a high floor, but never really quite helps you win a tournament.
Yeah. I mean, it's, to me, it's, if you're certainly, if you're hand building, you take that into account as an MMA player. We're going to get pieces of him in there, but just not at a high level. He's at 6,800. And again, I haven't looked at the full slate, but you said there's quite a few good options.
Oh my gosh.
In that price range. So you're not going to get too much of them in this game outside of, you're probably not going to get any, you probably shouldn't have any of them as a solo play. They're just going to strictly be paired up with Burrow, or potentially as a comeback if you want on the Watson side, but he's not the type of player that you're going to want in a, as a one-off.
There's also weirdly no history of Chase and T. Higgins really exploding, or it's wildly rare that both of them go off in the same game. Like, it is not the Tua plus two of dynamic that I feel like it should be, but it's just not on that team. I don't know why, but it just isn't. So it hasn't happened that way as of yet. If I'm stacking Burrow, I think you do need to stack him with two players, but I would leave Boyd and even Joe Mixon in that mix, because it could be anybody. And it's actually, like I said, it's unlike the Tua stack. It's not super likely that it's going to be Chase and Higgins. They're just too expensive, and they just don't tend to go off at the same time. But what about Deshaun Watson? As this is a relevant game, you know, we learned with Burns in the offseason that we should probably focus favored QBs in games like this. Do you allow that to seep into your approach on DFS?
I haven't in the past. I said, you know, but looking at some of the data, perhaps I need to change that. I would, you know, you want to be cautious about looking too much at what has previously won, just because it's predominantly favorites. I get that. I think more of the takeaway from there is you could get away from the big underdog, where a lot of people like to play that 7+ point dog in the hopes that, oh, garbage time, they're going to get a lot of points. That's where I think you really gain the most information. You know, a 2.5 point underdog, a 3 point underdog, it's basically a coin flip of a game, and it could go either way. So yes, do you lean a little bit more on the Burrow side? Sure. But I think Watson has a ton of upside. The potential is there for Watson. So I'm certainly not going to fade him just because they're a 2.5 point dog.
The stacks are also much cheaper.
Yeah.
Much cheaper with Deshaun. So you don't have to score as many points for those stacks to bring value. All right, John, let's talk about the sponsor of our show, Mojo Fantasy, for a moment here. And I really like this game. So Mojo it's a really awesome sports book in New Jersey. But what they've done is they've expanded out to 20 states with their sports book game, which is really unique. So effectively, the way their game works is you have a prop just like any other player prop. But instead of kind of running it as a one time buy the prop for -140, like US odds, pay $140 to win 100. The way their prop works is it's given a number between 0 and 100, and it's traded live at all times. So a 50-50 prop might be 50 cents to buy right now. If the prop hits, it will go up to $1. So it's a little got that stock market feel. And what they've done for daily fantasy is really cool, and I love it. So they effectively created a couple games. One's called Double Up and one's called In the Green. And the way their DFS game works is effectively, it's a double up. So you put up $20 or $10 or $100. You go up against 20 people. You just run their props or bet their props live as if you're betting it on a true sports book. You bet it live. And at the end of the contest, whoever is in the top half of money remaining doubles their money. So you're going up against other individuals, not the house. And effectively, whoever's in the top group doubles their money. So you get the whole experience of betting props all throughout the games. And the cooler part is you can get in and out of these props constantly. It's a really cool part about their sports book as well. It is fully, fully live, and it's traded and liquid at all times. So you don't need a buyout, some crappy buyout from the sports book. Their buyouts are true fair market buyouts, which, John, I've never heard of that anywhere. That's pretty unique, getting buyouts that are legit.
Yeah, it's unique to me. Well, yeah, it's a buyout because it's based on the market, not what some sports book is giving you. You know, the old deal or no deal show where they give you some awful value, but no one could calculate it in their heads. Most people don't do that with the sports books. They don't calculate exactly how much juice they're paying on that cash out. It's more of the feeling, the gut feeling, like hey, I'm up and I just want to get that cash back. And they don't realize how much they're giving back by doing that. Here, you're actually dealing in a trading market. Whenever you have a liquid market, you're going to get the most fair price. So I like that aspect of it quite a bit. And it appeals to me. I have a trading background. So it really appeals to me when I looked at it and you had that binary. Everything trades zero if whatever the prop is doesn't get there. One if it does. So everything's on the half point. So there's no pushes. Everything either wins or loses on the prop. And it's going to be really interesting. I think whenever you have something new, something different like this, you've got the opportunity to really investigate it and be sharper than the entire market. The time to make money on these type of things is early. So you're going to want to play it now. The NFL season starts this weekend, obviously. I think now's the time to really learn the game and make some money. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be breaking it down. Hopefully we'll do a little show on that. And I'll see if I can get you guys some good plays, at least before the games start. But when the games are starting, that's probably where you're going to be able to make your most money.
I love it. I love it. I think the game is really cool. Mojo Fantasy is available on the Apple Store as we speak. And that allows us to segue into our top prop segment, where we're going to talk about a couple of props that we could play on the sportsbook or on Mojo Fantasy this weekend that John loves. John, you are the top props man for Sharp App. You put out daily breakdowns of your favorite props of the day. Been crushing for multiple years, up just massive numbers of units on the top props article. And this is the Sharp App tool, called the Top Props Proptimizer tool. So this is a great tool where you'll see the sportsbook odds and we'll find our projection model and find the greatest edges. So give me a couple props that you're looking at for this weekend.
Well, this is a tough one. We were talking about it before, actually. Now I got to bring it up. Which was the, now I'm forgetting.
Yeah, which total passing. Sorry, I should have left it up. I closed it. But it was total passing yards.
And oh, the we passing yards for
excuse
me. It was
Jordan Love.
Jordan total Love. Yeah, the passing yards on Jordan Love. I kind of like my projections had him, I believe, at 236. Our projections have it at 230. This one looks really interesting to me, and I think you're going to take advantage of the fact that we've got, I think the overall market in general is pretty low on Love. He hasn't shown a whole lot. So I think we can take advantage of possibly a soft number here on the, and the over of 211.5 on a defense that isn't very strong. The Chicago defense hasn't shown much. I think, you know, all the attention is on Chicago with Fields. I think we might be able to sneak in an over on the Love bet.
I love it. And, take a look at this. One of the cool things about the Proptimizer tool in general is when you pull up Jordan Love here, you can see that the best odds are on DraftKings. It pops that up right in front of you to see. But if you hadn't checked, so you're getting over 211 at -115. If you hadn't checked this, you might have wound up on BetMGM where you're getting the same money for over 214.5. And I'm going to tell you from experience, John, those 3 yards, that's win or lose. These props usually come within a couple of yards. So just being able to quickly identify not just the best edge props, but also props that send you to the best book to bet, that is really going to make a difference in your ROI. Guys, if you're watching this and you don't have access to Sharp App, code DFSA20. DFSA20 gets you 20% off. So for our DFS Army YouTube subscribers, you get 20% off the Sharp App membership. There's a lot of great tools over at the Sharp App. John designs them all. You're going to power rankings, a lot of stuff that you guys have seen in the past, the Sharp Report, so many things. So if you bet on sports, you need to be on the Sharp App. You track your bets, do all these different incredible tools, and we're building them out at all times. Promo code DFSA20 gets you 20% off your Sharp App subscription. All right, John, let's get back into the breakdowns and take a look at the next game on the docket here. Jaguars at the Colts. I've got a bet on this game, so I want to see if you're on the same side as me.
Probably not, but I have a bet on it as well.
Oh boy. No, we can't disagree. I don't like it. This is one of my favorite bets of the weekend. I did get it at a better number, but we are currently sitting at Jaguars -5 road favorites against the Anthony Richardson led Colts. No Jonathan Taylor, no quarterback who could complete a pass, no running back on the team, John. The Jaguars, hot team this year, exciting, sexy team, -5 on the road. What do you say?
Yeah, I do. I like Jacksonville for the in futures, just because I do think that division is weak. So I think you can take a shot. AFC is tough, but I do think they're a worthwhile play on the for Super Bowl, just because they're going to have the easiest road, I think, in the AFC to get there. But getting out of the AFC will be tough. But in this game, logically, Jacksonville should roll in this game. This is just one of those early on in the season. I was waiting for weeks to play this game. And then I finally hit it at 3.5, the plus side of the 3.5.
And then as soon as
I bet it, it goes to 5. And I'm like, I've been watching this since June saying, I think this is going to go higher. I think it's going to go higher. And it wasn't going higher. So I got a little worried that possibly this was going to come down to 3. I wanted to grab the hook. And within a week, it went to 5. So I've been I'm 0-2 here on these. I'm usually pretty good at it. And I'm probably on the wrong side. It's just one of those games. I love to fade early. You'll make money early in the season fading the teams that come into the season with the hype, and certainly teams that were in the playoffs the year before. This used to be this was such a strong angle years ago. It's lost a little bit of its juice because ESPN posted something, or ESPN showed something about it like 2-3 years ago. And it sort of lost some of the juice, and the sports books have adjusted. But man, there was a time where you could fade playoff teams going against non-playoff teams in week 1 and just print money.
The wise guy play.
It used to be, but I still kind of, I liked it at the 3.5. I hate the play now, but I'm already locked in at 3.5. So I can't tell you I'm not, but I'm not too excited. I don't like the way that line has moved now.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going the opposite. I fully comprehend what you're saying, but I think what's being missed here is how mid of a quarterback Anthony Richardson actually is. And I think that is the factor that he's just not, or let me put it this way. I'm going with the assumption, because I don't know, but I'm going with the assumption that Richardson is just not ready. He's not ready to, he's not ready to compete in this game. And therefore, I like the Jaguar. I just don't think the Colts can score. I think they're going to have a hard time scoring. Maybe defensively, they'll hang in there. And you're right, 5 is a rougher number, but I did get it at +3.5 or -3.5, which I feel better about. So that was one of my first bets of the entire card. It was just the one that stood out to me the most. I love the Jaguars this season. Love me some sunshine. In this game, from a DFS angle, I don't think there's going to be enough here to press Trevor Lawrence into a tournament winning game. So this game carries a 45 point total, and on paper it looks pretty good, but because I don't really think the Colts will be able to make a game of it, I don't know that we're going to get a spike from the Jaguars offense. With that being said, I still like Calvin Ridley. He's one of those aforementioned players that's kind of a little underpriced regardless of how you think of the slate. And like Calvin Ridley's cheaper than T. Higgins, for example, and he's his team's number one wide receiver. I've got Calvin Ridley in there to get between 7 to 9 targets in a game like this for 6.5K. I love that spot. All the other pass catchers on the Jaguars are live as well, but there's just a lot of them. It's too many of them. I like Jaguars defense in this spot as well, though. But they're not my favorite defense on the slate, but I think they're super viable. Again, remember how bad Fields was for his first season and a half with the Bears. I think that's in the cards here, John. I think he could be as bad as Fields. Remember how horrible it was to watch a Bears game?
Listen, I still don't think he's going to be that great throwing the ball, but they figured it out how to run. Yeah, trust me. I'm not going to be shocked when they get blown out of this game. I'm just going by how I kind of cap things by the numbers and the trends and whatnot. But
I like it.
Yeah, logically, you're 100% right. But we know logic doesn't always play in. We get shocked all the time. People are going to take, this is another survivor pick that people are going to want to take because they're like, hey, let's fade Indianapolis. And, it is only a 5-point spread. So it's not like they're a lock to win the game. We see these things happen all the time. Like, you're looking at this, you're like, why aren't they just a 10-point favorite? Rookie quarterback, this team was terrible last year. Now you got the rookie. Okay, they're home. And home field is like 2 points now, maybe.
No Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, no Taylor. Like, who's even running? Is Deion?
Is it going to be Deion Jackson and a rookie, Evan Hull? Like, they're supposed to split carry. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly. We don't want that DFS. By the way, I didn't mention it, but we don't really want that DFS. I don't want that DFS smoke. I am not down with Deion Johnson, even at 4.2K. Other than like a little sprinkle, I don't trust him. I don't think that they will throw to the running back. I don't think running quarterbacks don't normally check down to running backs, so I don't expect it. I think Travis Etienne is playable, a little expensive and a little bit hasn't proven to me that he's like a 26 to 30 plus point running back in any game. But Travis Etienne and Jaguars defense might be an interesting combo in a game like this.
You know what these guys want, what these coaches never do, and it just never ceases to amaze me, is when you get these quarterbacks, especially the ones, these young quarterbacks who just are not accurate, where is the place on the field that you need to be the least accurate? Down the field, because you let your wide receiver make adjustments and you think less. That deep ball is not a thinking pass. Where did Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, where did they make their money? They made their money throwing 5-yard passes. Peyton Manning didn't throw anything over 5 yards the last 10 years of his career, right? But you need to be super smart and understand the defenses, because you need to make sure that those lanes are open, right? They knew before the game. It'll drive me nuts Sunday when I'm watching Richardson try to throw 5-yard slants and get, having them batted down and throwing it behind and throwing for interceptions. When you've got a running quarterback, you open up the field for him by throwing the ball deep and just no thinking. Throw the damn ball deep. Every once in a while, you'll complete one. Maybe you get a penalty, but at a minimum, it's going to open up everything else so that you can at least run the ball a little bit. Instead of the defense will have no respect in these games. You'll see it again, I'm sure. And they'll have no respect for the deep ball. Everything will be bunched up inside and they'll be able to stop them. So yeah, it drives me nuts. I know no professional coach is going to listen to me, but you should throw the goddamn ball deep on with young quarterbacks. It's the only way.
They're not going to do it.
No, I know they won't.
No, but I think part of it is they hold the ball too long, but a player like Richardson should be able to scramble around and actually have an advantageous time throwing it deep. So I like the logic. All right, let's move on. Next up, this is another, I think, really, really fantasy relevant game. We got the Bucs at the Vikings. This one has a middling total of 45.5 points with the Bucs installed as 6-point road favorites. Now, John, I think my lean in this game agrees with what you talked about before about fading playoff teams. And I think I got a sharp bet on this game. I like the Bucs +6. Baker Mayfield, less bad than people think. Rashad White, stud running back. Core play, NFL, week 1. I said it here. Rashad motherfucking White. Chris Godwin, core play, week 1, load up. And you know what brings me to this conclusion, John? John's Statsational Alessia's power ranking sheet from 2022, which will be available all season long on Sharp App, promo code DFSARMY20, DFSA20, for 20% off Sharp App. Because the Vikings were the team where fantasy points went to explode. They produced tournament winners, but with their horrible defense. So I want to target players against the Vikings. Give me the offensive pieces from the Bucs. No one likes Baker. Everybody hates him. I kind of don't like him either, but I think even Baker's a viable play. What do you say?
Oh, well, apologies, because I was just reading a message that got sent to me, but you cannot be more right. Last year, Minnesota was the team that you wanted to stack games against. Now, they were also one of the worst teams, like you said, in the power rankings. If you looked at it, this was the most lucky team in all. They won 13 games last year with a negative scoring margin differential. I mean, you just don't get any more lucky than them. So I'm very bearish just on the season for Minnesota. You know, is the offense going to be, what part of their game is going to be that much better? Like, the offense won't get any better than they were last season. And is this defense going to be dramatically better than they were? They were a sieve. I mean, you wanted to target the game stacks. Almost every Minnesota game was the game stack target. When I did briefly look at some stacking options, I was working on my spreadsheets for stacks and just noticing like I was getting way more Baker Mayfield than I usually get. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, they're playing Minnesota. That makes sense. So yeah, I would definitely look towards Minnesota. Tampa stacks here as potential. I mean, how crazy would it be Baker going Tampa first game and going off and winning someone a milli, but there is a chance of it happening. Now, as far as the betting markets go, I said, I'm bearish on Minnesota. I've been looking to fade Minnesota and all. I took the under on them for win total this season. Again, there's an article in the Sharp app on that. You can see all my win total bets, but that's an under that I like. And it kind of looks like a low number, but coming off a 13 win season, but this is a team that should not have went. I'm looking for a little regression back to the mean here. And so I like your bet of Tampa. I'm hoping we could get better than the number at right now. I mean, I'm hoping we could get the.
You could get, or maybe you push the line. I wanted to show you, maybe push the line up to 7. Do I move it to 7? Get that hook in there?
Yeah. You know, I usually, I'm not typically a buyer of points, so I'll take what you get. Cause you just never get the right price when you buy the points. So I know you and Gargano, you guys do the Wise Guys show, and Anthony loves buying points, selling points. He loves to take some crazy, and he's done well with it. I tend to just kind of I just try to find the best line I possibly can. I won't buy any points typically on these. So if 6.5 is the best I could get, that's what I'll wind up taking.
Take a look at this.
We were looking at this before, the Mayfield's over passing yardage on the app.
Yeah, and this is, again, one of the cool uses of the Proptimizer tool on the Sharp app is I can bring up this game. Like, I use this. This is one of the tools that I use for my showdown analysis and for my game analysis. But I can bring up the game, and I get all the props for this game. And then we look at the projection relative to the prop itself. And what's popping is, like, a lot of overs. Baker at 274 is a really high projection, but it makes sense. QBs tore up the Vikings last season. But everybody's projecting over Chris Godwin over 58 yards. I love this. I would hammer this bet right now before it moves. I think Mike Evans might not play, which will put this line in the 70s. Get it now. Don't say I didn't told you so. Rashad White over on the yardage. I agree with that. So there's a lot of overs.
What was that Godwin? What's the Godwin number?
The Godwin number is this is the number. Right. The best book is BetMGM. You get it 58.5. And that's where, let me see here. Over 58.5 on BetMGM, -115. -110. So you can get it -110 over 58.5 right now on BetMGM. And that's slightly the best line by 5 cents. So that's where you want to hammer that one. But 58.5, and we're projecting 71.
And I still have it over. My projection still is like 65, 66. So, I mean, I do like that over.
Yeah. So, I mean, the overs are popping, even the more conservative, but wait until you hear that Mike Evans might not play. That'll pop it up a little bit. So I love this game, but also, again, this is a great tool to use to help you make these decisions. So again, that's the Proptimizer over on the Sharp app. All right. Viking side. Do we have to load up on, you know, I'm interested in Alexander Mattison, John. The Bucs are bringing back Vita Vea. He's healthy. It's not really a great team to run against, but Madison should get the full run. But obviously Justin Jefferson in play. I think you could probably play even a cousin stack in a game like this. You think you'll have some cousin stacks going on?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think you play cousin stacks. I'm not as high maybe on Madison here. I just think this is a throw the ball type of game.
It's just Vita Vea is a very, very good defensive lineman. Like, when he's in the game for the Bucs, they are harder to run on. Last year, that guy was in and out of games, but when he's in there, he is pretty much a wall. So I don't mind it because Madison has no competition for touches. I like guys who get a lot of touches, but I do prefer Rashad White as one of my core plays of this weekend. And I don't play two running backs from the same game. So for the most part, I would avoid, I won't wind up with Madison, certainly in my Rashad White lineups anyway. All right, let's move on. Next game on the docket, John. We've got the Titans at the Saints. Saints are at home as 3-point favorites. This one has a horrific 41.5 point, super low total. And I have to tell you, just the initial, this game does not pop to me as a great spot for DFS. But there is a couple of spots here that do pop for me. And I'll just kind of clue in on some of those. on the Saints, I like Jamal Williams. Listen, people don't want to play Jamal Williams. That's fine. I like Jamal Williams in the spot. They don't have any other running backs that are really viable for this game. I think Jamal Williams is going to get 20 touches in a game like this, and he's a touchdown guy. He can catch a pass too. I don't think people are understanding that Jamal Williams is a pretty good pass catcher. So to me, on the Saints, Jamal stands out. I think a lot of people are going to want to play Chris Olave here as well. I'm excited for Chris Olave this year. He doesn't necessarily pop for me as a crazy great play, but he is in the mix at that $6,500 level alongside the Calvin Ridleys and the Amari Coopers and all these other starters that are priced around 6K to 6,500. I like him, but he doesn't stand out to me as a special play. On the Titans side, I don't really like anything. I don't like anything offensively on the Titans. I don't like Derrick Henry in the spot. Titans have an all new offensive line. I don't trust it. Derrick Henry can pop off, but can he really break a slate open in a game like this? He'd need to score at his salary, 8, 16, 24, 32 just to keep pace. No passing game work. He's got to score 32. He's got to score 40 to help you really win a tournament. John, he needs to score 40. 35 to get you 4.5x. It's too much. I don't think he can get there.
Well, even at the high price, as long as he gets in the 30s, you could be okay. It's going to, obviously it'll be dependent on other players, but
you're talking two touchdowns and 100+ yards.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, he's always capable of doing it. I would agree with you though, on that one. I wouldn't bank on it, and certainly not at the price, but just know even the price in NFL is not as dependent. It's not linear as you may expect. So even a cheap option, you're like, well, he's good value if he gets me 18 points. That's not good enough. If we're talking about big GPPs, you're talking about cash games and everything, that's a different story. But if you're trying to take down a big GPP, no matter what the price is, they're going to have to score that 30 plus for you at the...
I'm referring to big GPPs when we're talking about trying to win a tournament. Like in a cash game, it's a whole other story.
Yeah. It's unlikely, to your point, if you get a guy like Henry and he scores 30, there's a good chance someone else at a much cheaper price is going to get in that 30s also, and you probably aren't going to need him. The only way it works is if he either goes for like 40, like you said, or he's just the only running back that goes off. And on a slate like this, it's probably not going to be the case. So I do agree with you there. From a betting standpoint, I actually made a bet. You know, you're always going to hate my bets, especially in the beginning of the season.
Why do I need to hate your bets?
You're going
to
hate them. You're going
to. I don't like this bet. If you bet Tennessee, I don't like it.
Because I basically bet the worst team, all the worst of the both teams. I mean, that's my betting style, right? And people go, why would you ever do that? I'm like, well, they put a number on the damn game, right? They put a line on it, and that line hits 50. You know, it goes 50% on either side. So to say anyone's stupid for playing either side of a line is quite frankly dumb. Because it's 50-50.
No, it's a line. There's no dumb bets.
There's no dumb bet when you're betting a spread. I mean, that's just the way it is. But so I do like Tennessee here. You could get, I believe I got it at 3. Yes, I took it at 3, but I got it at a low juice on the 3. So I got it at minus 105, which I'm happy with, and plus 3 on that bet. So I'll take a shot here. New quarterback again, changing systems over in with Carr. And we'll see if that game just is maybe a lower scoring game than we thought. Now, what was the prop? You know, you were mentioning Olave. What's the prop on Olave? And I think this is going to be the most helpful thing for a lot of people is get used to looking at the props. I mean, you mentioned what I do in DFS. A ton of it has in every sport has to do with where the betting markets are. And the betting markets are becoming so much more liquid in the prop markets these days that's where you need to be looking. Like, you know, don't worry about who's projecting, you know, what projections you're getting from so-and-so and so-and-so. What's the Olave prop right now?
Unfortunately, John, I wish
this is not out yet.
It is not out yet. We're recording this on Wednesday, and some of these props will not actually go live on these sports books until Friday. I don't know why. There's no Derrick Henry rushing prop yet either.
I'm looking for it.
We got a Tannehill yardage prop, which seems
I have crazy. Tannehill. Yeah, I could have just clicked. I'm like literally on the app, just like all I had to do was click it and not ask you. It's so much easier to do on the app. But yeah, so the Tannehill's at like 230. I mean, obviously it's going to depend on which book, but anywhere from 230, 225 and a half up to 235 and a half.
These tools are gold. You need either go on directly on the Sharp app or right here on the sharp.app website and pull up the Proptimizer. But yeah, it's gotten to the point. Listen, we evolve over time. You know, when I started DFS Army, John, when I started DFS, let me go to the widescreen for this. When I started DFS Army, my big innovation in fantasy football was using the game total and the spread to inform fantasy football decisions. Now, you might say, Kev, this is the dumbest shit you've probably ever said to me in all of our discussions, because who the hell didn't already know that? And my answer is, no one did in 2011. They were not doing that. DFS was new in 2011 and 12, and no one was looking, and on the fantasy side, no one was looking at the game totals. It just was not part of the cadence of what you did when you were breaking down your fantasy. So it was an innovation, right? It was a new idea. Well, now with the prevalence of player props, which is just happening over the last couple of years, of course, we've been using it the last few years, but the prevalence of it, one of the best ways to really get your feel for these projections is just to look at the props and compare, because people are betting both sides of that, which makes the number kind of real, right? It's not a fully perfect number, but it's really close. So that is the best way to go. And so it's just the evolution of these things. But unfortunately, we don't have props for Olave.
Well, be on the lookout, because you were mentioning the price range that he's in. So you're going to have a handful of those guys who look really good. Just look at their yardage numbers, and you'll just from there, you're going to get a good idea. Look at the yardage numbers. They're going to be close. Then look reception at the point, the totals in the game and what they're projected or what the prop is for them to score a touchdown. And you don't need to know how to do the math. You'll just know that the guy with a prop of 75 yards is just going to be better than the one who's got the prop of 60 yards. I mean, that's just the way it is. Even when you're doing your season long teams and you're like, oh, start six.
Who do I start?
Go to the damn props.
Dom, you're going to put me out of business.
I'm sorry, but that's just the way it is. Listen,
should I just stop?
They'll all just come over to the Sharp app and get all the props from us there.
No one's going to ask me who to start anymore. They're like, wait, I know who to start. Shut up, geek. You don't know nothing. Put me out of business, John.
Sorry.
But yes, all of that's legit. And you mentioned that's why John builds the tools on the Sharp app and designs them, because he plays these games and he knows what's going on. You know, it's what you need. It's what you need for your DFS. I use it too. So there we go. All right. Next up, another bet spot for me, John. 49ers at the Steelers. Gargano called me a sucker for this bet. He says, suck a bet, right? But 49ers are -2 on the road at the Steelers. There's a lot of hype around the Steelers this year, but I don't know. You know, it's got a 42-point super low total. This game does not stand out to me from a DFS angle at all. 42 points, tough defense on the Steelers. Tough defense for the 49ers. Steelers a tough defense. But kind of an ugly game, in my opinion. But what's up with the -2? It seems like too good of a number for one of the best teams in the league going up against a team that was mid last year.
Certainly does look like a sucker line. And it's only gotten better if you're betting San Francisco, right? So in other words, the line has moved in Pittsburgh's direction since it's opened. I mean, they opened if you just look at the money line, it opened at like -150 down to like -130 for San Francisco. I haven't looked at the handles yet. Yeah, it looks like if you look at our handles in the app as well, the money is actually coming in. The bets are coming in on San Francisco. That would make sense to me. And the money's coming in on Pittsburgh. That also makes sense.
The sharps are on the Steelers.
Seems that way. I didn't look. Yeah, I haven't looked. You know, we have the Sharp report in the Sharp app.
If we have some NFL in there.
We do have NFL all over it. And I'm trying to see if we have that game yet. No, but the sports. So the info that we do have, though, is that the sports book is in need of San Francisco. Believe it or not. And we like to fade the sports book in this. We actually fade on the Sharp report that Anthony puts out. We fade the book because it tends to be a sharp book. So especially when we're seeing sharp money on one side and then the book needs the opposite side, we like to fade the sports book. So interesting that San Francisco would be the side that they need, but the sharp money appears to be coming in on the Pittsburgh side. So, you know, Gargano is pretty sharp. So
he's always sharp. He's on the sharp side. I'm the sucker better more often than not, but I don't care. I don't get it. Now I could be eating some crow next week, but I'm not taking the Steelers to win this game against the 49ers. The only way that happens in my mind is if the 49ers just aren't ready to play, which does happen in week one. Just the offense just isn't in sync as of yet. But beyond that, I didn't see anything about the Steelers that tells me, yeah, everybody's talking about Kenny Pickett going to be better this year. You know, I'll believe it when I see it, John. Any DFS angles pop for you in this game? McCaffrey, Najee?
Let me look quick at the breakdown on my numbers from last. And again, it's obviously from last year. But when I just look at it, I look at the overhaul, like the Pitt side is just gross. And not a whole. I mean, look, McCaffrey's always in play, but not a lot from the passing side on San Francisco side of the ball. So it's not a great DFS play, DFS game, I don't think.
Yeah, nothing stands out for me. I'm really this game is a total avoid from DFS in my mind. I'm not playing McCaffrey at his price. I'm definitely not playing Najee Harris. I mean, maybe George Pickens, but him and Deontay Johnson about the same price. I don't really know. I don't get it. Brandon Ayuk is kind of cheap, but Brandon Ayuk didn't do anything under Brock Purdy last year. It wasn't like he had these great games. So even the 5K price point for Brandon Ayuk seems pretty fair. Nothing's popping for me in that game. Let's move on. Cardinals at the Commanders. Commanders, 7-point home favorites. Cardinals are basically a dead-in-the-water team this year, appear to be tanking. I heard, John, that they're going to roll out Clayton Tune. Clayton Tune, son of famous Broadway star Tommy Tune. Did you know this?
I didn't. Is that true?
No. I
was going to say, he's got to be way older now.
Can you imagine? I just made that up. His name is Clayton Tune. I don't know anything about him. Fourth round rookie. That's who you're going to run at your QB position. So they could have given up a fourth rounder for Trey Lance. Nope. We're good. Don't need him. We're happy with Clayton Tune. All right, or they're happy with losing all their games this year so they can get the number one pick and get an elite stud at QB and get rid of Kyler Murray. I think it's the latter, John. Commanders defense, one of the top plays on this slate. You can't fuck with their running backs because there's two of them, and I don't know between Brian Robinson Jr. and Antonio Gibson which one is going to be the featured one. I have no idea. Gibson has got some hype. I'm not messing with it. Wide receiver wise, Jahan Dotson is really interesting. Sam Howell, I think maybe is getting a little more hype at this point than he should, although I think he's going to have a good year. If Terry McLaurin is out, though, Jahan Dotson is an interesting play on this card at 5K. There's even a little sneaky tournament upside with Diami Brown, who played college ball with Sam Howell, and he will be probably the WR3 if Terry McLaurin is out. Cardinal side, avoid Commanders defense. Play of the week. What do you say?
Yeah, this, I mean, just from a DFS standpoint, not a whole lot. Let's just go quick over the betting.
38-point total, I forgot to mention.
Yeah. Horrible. So the total, you know, that always gives you the red flag right away on as far as for DFS. Of course, the, you know, maybe the defense I haven't looked at. The prices on that.
Commander's defense will absolutely be the chalk of the slate.
Yeah.
And so, you'll see like a 30% owned defense.
Which I hate. You like to fade. You always want to fade the chalky defense. When it hits, you just get crushed. You
can't fade this one.
I know. You have to, though. You can't get on because defense is so, even the best defense, you have to fade it. Trust me on this one.
All right. Well, there is some DFS insight from the number 10 player.
You have to fade it. When I do my number, the most difficult thing to project and predict is defense. It's just too, you know, you get a punt return, you get, you know, anything crazy happens from another team. They go off and score 20 points and we didn't expect them to. And they're the nuts. You just can't do it. So yes, you want to fade. If you're making a single lineup, fade the defense, even though it's the best play clearly on the board. From again though, from the betting mark, you did put a bet in on this one, right? Yeah, you did.
I did bet the Commanders. I think the Cardinals can't score. Period.
Yeah, you've got it at -6. on the app. And
dude, I crushed closing lines. If you were following me on the app, you crushed some closing.
You absolutely crushed it. Yeah, no, I've not done a good job here. I didn't touch the game, but yes, this is, I think you're in a situation. I would agree. I tend to bet bad teams. I like betting bad teams. I don't like the whole tank. Here's the thing about tanking. Players do not tank. Coaches don't tank, but organizations do. So they may not be putting the best product out there, but players are not, you know, trust me, the players are not playing to lose and the coaches aren't playing to lose because they won't have a job, right? So they're all fighting for their job. And they're trying to win. You know, the players really could care less about who their number one draft pick is next year. So once the players get out on the field, the whole playing the tank thing. So it's just a matter of what's the personnel and how, and of course there are lacking in personnel in Arizona. You're not going to want to touch it on a fantasy side. And I'd be leery right now about betting on them. Usually I like taking these dogs early in the season, but I'm going to kind of stay off of this one from a bet standpoint. Washington, you know, that division, when I was looking at them in the futures, that I think that division is going to be a lot better this year. I don't think Philly just rolls. I think even Washington's going to be better than they were. So that's going to be an interesting, I think that East is an interesting division.
Philly still rolls, but yes, I agree. They're better teams across the board. And some of these teams are going to squeak out a win against Philly. I'm not sure about the Commanders, but you know, I think the Giants and Dallas both have the potential to squeak a win out, a division win against the Eagles this year. I like the bet. I bet the Commanders -6. I'm happy to get it not off the round number of the 7. I don't know. Like when it gets to 7, I like it a little bit less. You know, they come back and win. But I just don't think the Cardinals can score. I don't care if it's Clayton Tune or Josh Dobbs or whoever the hell they throw out there at QB. They don't have anything else going on. People are going to, and I guess they'll have to lean heavy on the Terminator, James Conner, but I don't think that's going to do the job. So 38 point total though. Stay away, stay away. Another low total game coming up here, though, looks sexier on paper to me than this last one. The aforementioned, we already talked about the Packers, Jordan Love, taking on the Bears. Bears are at home. This is effectively a pick 'em game, John. -1 for the Bears, 42.5 point total. Now I loves me some Fields this week and every week. Like that's my guy. But this total is scary low. And I'm having a hard time conflating those two themes because, well, on the one hand, Fields is such a great fantasy producer, regardless of what his team winds up doing. On the other hand, this is a pretty low total game. And I don't know why it's so low, because the Packers, while both teams are likely to lean heavy on the run, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just like they're expecting the Packers to lean heavy on the run in this one. And we already know the Bears are going to lean heavy on the run because that's what they do. Yair Alexander puts a damper on DJ Moore for me a little bit, John. I love DJ Moore this year. I adore him. But in this game up against an elite cornerback that might be able to slow him down, it dampens it a little bit for me. And I'm curious as to your take on that. But do you see a betting spot here? I'm probably, if I had to go away, I don't know. This is a pick 'em. I'd probably lean Packers if I'm forced to choose, but I'm glad to not pick this one.
Yeah, I'm not taking it either. I mean, the line has come from +2 down to +1 since it's open. So it has moved in the Packers' favor. I think there's certainly more hype on the Bears side. I think people are really down. We were just talking about that when we were talking about props before with Love. So I think people are a little bit more bearish in the market on Green Bay. Do I think Green Bay like makes a lot of noise? I don't know, but I think that division is more wide open than maybe some people think. And I would actually take a stab at the Bears here in some futures, just because I like to take the quarterback who has potential to make a big step up. And certainly Fields has that potential. I don't love how he throws the ball, but he's going to be a nasty weapon running the ball, and he's going to be a DFS darling certainly for the year. Now, he drives me bananas in DFS because now I can't just plug and play. I can't just configure my lineups like in one way. He's got to be a separate type of player here, because he's going to get 30 points plus on his own and not really bring anyone along. I know he won last year with Kmet, but it wasn't like Kmet did anything.
So, no, but you know, there were games where Kmet, I want to point this out, because we just did the back test streams and we relived this super fresh in my mind, John. You needed Kmet. There was never an occasion where Fields should not have been stacked and he won you a tournament. Like, there was, that did not happen. So the issue, I think, is you can't, stacking him with two was a mistake. It was stacking him with one, but certain other guys need to be stacked with two players. But Fields, there was never an occasion last year where Fields was winning. Fields would have won you a tournament without at least one stack. And since you mentioned Cole Kmet, I did my matchup analysis on this game already. And technically, the best matchup in the passing game for the Bears is going to be Cole Kmet. The Packers are rolling out ne'er-do-wells and sandwich bagger and grocery baggers at safety in this game. Once you get away from Jaire Alexander, their secondary is a disaster. So I think the guy who's going to benefit the most is actually Cole Kmet. And weirdly, I do like Cole Kmet very much as a stack with Fields or even as a standalone play on this particular slate, just because that matchup is so much better than the other matchups in this game.
I think it's so, I wish I could give you a strong opinion on this. It's driving me, it drove me nuts all of last year. The problem is I'm going to speak about it just from an MME and using the optimizer sort of standpoint is the projections are going to be lower on his pass catchers. And it makes it difficult if you're just running an optimizer to have enough. If you're using him in a stack, it's going to look at the pass catchers that go with him, and they're not going to be as good as far as projections go when you combine his numbers and them as compared to some other options. So you're going to get way less than where the market, you know, the market will be like 20-something% Fields, and you're just not going to have that much. So you've got to change how you do your building. So, and that's what I have to work on myself. And I think we spoke about this on another show, but you do have to look into perhaps just building with your run type quarterback separately and then adding into your 150 or however many lineups you're doing, do 50 of them with just your run type quarterbacks and 100 normal, something like that to get the allocations you want. Otherwise, you're going to be severely under the market on players like Fields.
So I'm going to expand on that a little bit. For DFS Army subscribers, one of the things that we did in the offseason was back test streams, where we go back and rerun the entirety of the 2022 season. We use the Domination Station Optimizer. We look back and rerun. And one of the things we did on those streams was have some special guests on there. Burns was on a bunch of them with me, and John, you were on one of them. And we were talking about your approach to MMEing, and you're right. With that approach of not really forcing the QBs, but allowing the projections to suck them in to lineup, so to speak, with the approach that was being used there, yeah, there it's just not going to pull players like a Fields in there because of those stacks and they're automated. So we talked about either doing a QB plus one run separate or a running QB run separate. But one of the other tricks that you might have to pick up for a guy like this is just smashing a forced min on someone like a Fields, where it'll at least grab him and stack him with one of his guys, where even though the wide receiver or tight end isn't projected as well, you just have to say, you know what, I'm just doing 20% Fields and smash that forced min, which is not typically how you run your QB position. You typically allow the projections to dictate much more of that. But, you know, the forced min will deal with that. But the secondary concern is some of these situations where you want stack plus two versus stack plus one, and you start to get into all of that, and maybe it requires two separate runs of the optimizer, one for your plus ones and one for your plus twos. But that does require a little more pre-planning, I would say, of just how much exposure you want to each of these QBs. Is that about sum it up?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
We did this together, so I had the chance to think about it, and I'm like, man, how do you accomplish this? You're right, because that's style and approach. And if you guys missed it, make sure, if you're a DFS Army subscriber, to go back, look under the basic training and check out the live back test streams that we did for the 2022. It's super helpful. If you're going to MME at all, that's where you want to go. Now, again, we handcraft, we MME, we got our cheat sheets. But if you're MMEing back testing and understanding techniques for attacking 150 or 300 lineups, it's really, really important. It's one of the things we try to do, you know, teach everybody these approaches. All right. Next game on the docket, Eagles at the Patriots. Eagles now -4 on the road as favorites, taking on the Patriots team that, you know, just added Zeke Elliott to the mix, got their razzle and their dazzle, Zeke and Ramondre. Patriots have some sketchy things going on at wide receiver. Not really sure. Juju got some knee issues. Devontae Parker oft injured. I don't know what they have, how they're coming into the season like this, but they're all pretty much healthy right now. Eagles -4. Does this fall into your category of Super Bowl hangover? You cannot bet the Eagles in week one, even though they stand out to me as a really good play at this number.
It does. So yeah, I know you like
the Eagles, Philly. But
I like New England here in this game. I'm getting the 3.5. We took it at the same number, opposite sides. It was higher, so it opened up higher. It dropped down to 3.5. I think you can get pretty much 3.5 everywhere. So it has moved, the market at least has moved in my favor. I do like the Pat side of this.
I don't like being against the sharps on all my bets. I'm starting to feel like a donkey.
Nah, I mean, you know, listen, they're the logical side, right? So when you look at it, it's certainly the logical side of the bet. New England wasn't as good, but I think New England is a team that I actually I'm bullish on, and I've taken them as a long I've taken them over on their win total this year. I did not take them in any futures as far as to win the division, but I did take them over on their win total. You look at Belichick's career, obviously Brady was a good chunk of that, but I think their total was 6.5. I mean, that's just, I forget what it is now. I'm not looking at it, or if it was 7.5, but I don't think he's won like less than 8 games over the last however many years. Even with this, even without Brady here, I think he's able to get it done. We'll see. I mean, you've got, like you said, you've got Zeke there now. I don't know how much of a difference that makes to their offense, but it doesn't hurt.
He's going to be this year. Remember LeGarrette Blount a couple of years ago, like had a resurgence,
but that's what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what New England's not going to, you know, that's why we get shocked. And we got, you know, we get swindled by New England in fantasy all the time when they go into, who was it? Sony Michel, right? They took him early, and it's like, well, New England never took a running back early. And then he burns everybody in the season long leagues. Like, this is, they've had that right game plan for a long time with running backs before the rest of the market has kind of realized it, and they'll pick up your scraps and just plug them in and do just fine. So that's what they're going to get with Zeke. It's not like he's done, but he's not going to be the guy, he's not going to carry the ball 25 times a game. I mean, they don't need him for that.
He's perfect for the role they're going to give him
in
New England. The question for me is, can the Eagles stop the run? Because I don't think that the passing game from Mac Jones and these ne'er-do-well wide receivers is going to be very, very effective for the Patriots. So they're going to need to play defense, and they're going to need to run the football. And it's really hard to play defense against the Eagles unless the Eagles come in rusty, which could happen. But that's kind of what you're hoping for in that spot. As far as DFS angles here, there aren't many. I like Hurts. So here's the one thing. The total has come down. And the best way that the Patriots keep this game close is probably in a low-scoring affair. But I think you got to like Hurts. It's a 45-point total. Eagles -4. They're road favorites. I look back at Hurts, and he's just so consistent. Even in games where they don't go crazy, he's putting up like a low 20s number. He puts up big numbers on occasion, even in blowouts. And if you are right and the Patriots can keep this close, I think the guy who's benefiting the most is Jalen Hurts. But that assumes that the reason the Patriots are keeping it close is because they're keeping up with the scoring. But I am seeing the total getting bet down like crazy. This thing, the total, I feel like has moved 2 or 3 points. I mean, let me pull up the Sharp app here, but and the line chart, but I feel like the total has moved 2 or 3 points here in the last couple of days.
The total has, I'm scrolling on it. Yeah, well, it's gone from 44 and a half to 45. It hasn't moved too much.
Oh, all right. So 40, I felt like it was over to 47 and a half at one point, but you're not seeing that?
No.
Here. Eagles. So, yeah, but regardless, I do like Hurts in this spot. Close game. Always like Hurts. I think Hurts is somebody you want to play every single week in fantasy. How are you treating Hurts this year for DFS?
Well, Hurts, I think it's going to be different than Fields. I mean, I think you do want to stack them, but I think the stacks are just going to be single, you know, it's just going to be single stacks with him. But I think it's potentially there for some naked play, but I think he's more of a passer and a pretty good one. So I think you're going to want to use him in game stacks and stacks.
Stack plus one, never naked, never naked. Stack plus one. Sometimes stack plus two. That's kind of where I was going with that. But stack plus one for sure. And the Eagles running back. I'm ignoring the running backs on this game completely. I don't like the Eagles guys. I don't like the Patriots guys at all here. We're coming towards the end. We're at the afternoon games. And here's another one. I think this has some sneaky potential before we get to the quote-unquote game of the week. But this has some sneaky potential. Raiders at the Broncos. Raiders, 3.5-point road favorites, game total 44. You know, there's some excitement about Russell Wilson and the Broncos right now. You know, can he be resurgent with Sean Payton at the helm? For the Raiders, I'm not sure that they lose anything going from Derek Carr to Jimmy Garoppolo. Might be the same. Jimmy might be better than Derek Carr. I don't know, but I don't think they lose anything. It's kind of a weird line. Raiders getting 3.5. Broncos could not stop the run very well last year. You got Josh Jacobs out there. Couple of interesting pieces. So any betting potential here? A road underdog Raiders plus 3.5?
Yeah, I'm not taking it on the bets. Denver is a team I do think is going to be better. I think you saw Wilson improve at the end of last season. I think that beginning of the year, again, it's that quarterback, high profile quarterback moving to another team. So he had that aspect going for him early in the year. And then Hackett was just an absolute mess. So I think that entire team for the first half to three quarters of the season, until they got rid of Hackett, started to turn around a little bit, and you saw Wilson become a little bit more of what Wilson is capable of being. I think you'll see a big improvement.
How much of it was Hackett, right? And how much was just Wilson washed? And we don't know.
You don't know. And Wilson, listen, Wilson wasn't Russell Wilson the last year in Seattle either. I mean, he wasn't like putting up phenomenal numbers. So you have to take that into account, but I also don't think he was as washed up as he looked early in the year. I think they improved towards the tail end of last season. Now they're a little banged up here now coming into the season at the wide receiver position. So that could be a factor. But I'm a little leery. I agree with you on the Jimmy G. I think comes in and really just a pretty much the same type of player. He's not going to throw a lot of interceptions. He's going to kind of keep you in the game. So he's always been a good guy. He was great with San Francisco because that was the type of team that really he performs well with. And of course, when he had those few games in New England, I think he'll be fine here. He's not going to put up crazy numbers. That's not Jimmy G. But when I was doing my projections, my futures, and running all the models for the futures, I didn't change anything. I didn't adjust it at all at the quarterback position. I think it pretty much stays stagnant from a bet, from a line standpoint. I think this is what the line would have been, I think, with Carr at quarterback as well. So I don't think you're losing anything and you're not gaining anything with Jimmy G. Tough one as far as from betting angle here. I would lean towards Denver, but you know, again, sort of fade that the quarterback on the new with the new system. So if I was playing this in a pool, I would lean towards Denver, but no strong opinion as far as a bet goes on this game.
I do have some strong DFS angles here, John, both pro and con for these games. So I think it's important to look at a couple different situations. Number one, Davante Adams is going to go up against Pat Surtain the second. And you don't want that smoke. That's all I got to say. You don't want that smoke. Surtain is really good. Yes, Davante Adams is great, but Surtain is really good. And so it's going to limit a little bit of the ceiling for Davante Adams for me. I do like Josh Jacobs. And on that same note, because Davante Adams likely to get shut down a little bit, maybe a Jacoby Myers might have some interest here on the Raiders side. On the Broncos side, no Judy, no Jew on this one. So it elevates the possibility that Courtland Sutton has a big game. Courtland Sutton's super cheap, John, on the slate. And you basically have to play him. Like, he's one of the better plays on this entire slate. The other guy who is the punt of the week is Marvin Mims, who is going to be starting as the WR2 for the Broncos for $3K. So that is a min salary starter. Now, I got a warning for you, too. We're not done. This is a game where there's a third angle in DFS that you need to be careful. Listen, I've had a lot of weeks. I'm like Bill Belichick. I've had 2 weeks to prepare. So I'm going to give you another little angle here that is a concern, and that's Greg Dulcich, who figures to be a very popular, super chalky tight end on the slate. And I'm just going to throw this warning out there that in the preseason, Adam Trautman played ahead of Greg Dulcich. Now, that doesn't mean that Adam Trautman is going to play ahead of him in the regular season. All it means is that I don't think that it is understood that there is a possibility. They brought in Trautman, and it's possible that Sean Payton is like, no, I need this guy. He's a blocker, or does something different than Dulcich, that he wants him in the game. So I don't know what that means, but I do know that I'm tempering expectations for what otherwise should be a very, very high-owned Greg Dulcich in a game without Jerry Jeudy, where the narrative is, oh, they're just going to throw to the tight end more. So be careful for Greg Dulcich. I'm not saying I know something, but he played behind Trautman. And be a little bit careful with Davante Adams because of that coverage from the Raiders. That's how I'm looking at this game. That game. Now, we're well into this, and we get to the game of the week. The one game that stands out above all others, the core play. Dolphins at the Chargers. Tua versus Herbert. Okay, our projection model going crazy. Likes Tua for almost 300 yards in this one. The Chargers are installed as 3-point home favorites with a 51-point total. John, no other game comes close on the slate. It's not even this knocks it out of the park, this game. It stands out above all others. Herbert didn't have any tournament-winning performances in 2022, but past performance not necessarily indicative of future results. Tua, last year or 2 years ago, I don't remember when, I coined the phrase Tua with Tua, with two of his pass catchers. The beautiful thing about Tua is he only throws to two people, Waddle and Hill. They ignore everybody else. Maybe the running back gets a couple passes, maybe Durham Smythe, the tight end, gets a couple of shots, but for the most part, he's just throwing to two guys, and when he's having a big game, he does enough to carry both of them, not just one, but both of them to the finish line. Tua stacked with two of Waddle and Hill. That's the play. As far as Herbert goes, I love him. Herbert can be stacked across the board with Eckler. I love the Mike Williams stack with Herbert. I'm not so high on the rookie. Quentin Johnson is priced a little bit, I think, too high for me. And Keenan Allen is usually not a touchdown scorer. So I think, his ceiling is a little bit limited. But Herbert, also the kind of QB that should be stacked with two guys. But we want to include Eckler in that mix. John, what do you think of this game? Can you bet it? Dolphins plus +3. Interesting. Chargers at home minus -3. Gargano loves the Chargers. It's probably his favorite bet of the week.
I don't mind that bet. I mean, I don't love it. Not touching it. The game has gone slightly in the Chargers' favor just from the money line. The spread itself's kind of stayed the same. The money line has moved from 123 to 136 on the plus +136 for Miami. So it's kind of moved in the Chargers' favor. The totals kind of bounced up and down, sitting around that 50.5, 51 number. Like you said, it's probably the best game DFS wise, at least on paper. It's going to be that one in the Tampa game that I think we may have started with, or one of the first games that we started with. So it's going to be those two games. You look at Miami, last season, they were one of the worst teams against quarterbacks in fantasy. So you got to keep that in mind. Chargers were right around middle of the pack, to quarterbacks, and I believe same thing with wide receivers. the Miami was one of the worst teams against wide receivers and tight ends last year. So definitely I like this game from a game stack standpoint. And like you said, when you take Miami, when you take Tua, you like having both of his pass catchers because he utilizes both of them. But you also, for sure, if you're going to go the Tua route, you also for sure want to make sure you get somebody coming back on the Charger side in this game as well. And who knows, you could actually play Herbert with both pass catchers on Miami side also.
That would be wild. Just like Herbert, Tua, Herbert. The problem is the expense of it all, right?
It's expense. Yeah, I haven't looked at the prices, but
yeah.
If you took those two, I'm sure the tight ends are pricey as well here in this game, but I'm going to look at it now.
The tight end's not too bad, but the
Everett's at 43. If you took an Everett, with Herbert and then, yeah, Waddle and Hill make it really tough. 7,100.
That's why I mentioned Mike Williams, because he's the guy that when he goes off, you know, he's scoring touchdowns and he's 5,700. Like, he's in a reasonable salary range, Mike Williams, even though he's not as consistent as like a Keenan Allen. And the other issue is Eckler is a fortune.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to put a monster game stack together on this, but that's, does make it difficult.
That's why DFS ain't easy.
It's not easy.
I like it. So let's move on, John. Final game of the main slate, and we're going to cut it off there. We got the Rams at the Seahawks. Seahawks installed as 5.5-point home favorites. The game total is a above average 46-point total, which is nice. The big storyline right now is Cooper Kupp. Will he or won't he? He's got the hammy issue. Don't know if he's going to play this week. So that is still a mystery. I think Kupp transforms the Rams when he's not on the team. It's very bad. It's a bad scene when he's not on the team. So I think that's a super important factor here. As far as the Seahawks go, there's a lot of mysteries. What usage will we see for Kenny Walker relative to Charbonnet? And of course, with the three wide receivers now, including Jackson Smith and Jigba, does that kind of cut into the target share? Because the Seahawks never threw to a third wide receiver. It was just Lockett and Metcalf. They did not throw to a third guy. Remember, they hit the tight ends a little bit. That was sort of how they did it. But now if they're splitting those even further, that might affect the volume a little bit for Metcalf and or Lockett. On the Rams side, if Kupp is out, Van Jefferson, screaming value, screaming play, I would say. And I kind of like Cam Akers in general this season, but I'm not sure about this game as a road underdog. How do you feel about it all?
So I got the Rams earlier at 6.5. And of course, that actually is a good price that I got, early. Early in the week on that one. But yeah, again, then I get kind of snaked. I just assumed Kupp was going to be playing and then he gets a little bit of a setback. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, changes things quite a bit.
I love that number, by the way, with Kupp playing. I would be all over it too.
I don't know. I mean, we'll find out soon enough. But Seattle is another one of those teams in my futures that I was very bearish on. I just thought they played above their talent level last year as far as win total goes. I think that they were not quite as good a team as they may have shown. I think they started to peter out a little bit. They were Geno Smith was like the shock to everybody early in the year, maybe the first half of 22. And he came back down to reality a little bit as well. I don't expect Geno to have nearly as good a season as he did last year. I'm just very bearish on Seattle on the whole, which is why I'm very bullish on San Francisco to win that division. I actually like just taking San Fran and Kansas City as a parlay to win their divisions and rolling with that. I think you get like plus 160 or something like that. On that parlay. I kind of like that. I just don't see any competition. I mean, Arizona is obviously out of it and it's really Seattle. I don't think the Rams are good enough I think the Rams will be better. I just don't think they're good enough to compete for the division. So I'll take my chances here that Seattle's just not even close to what people think they are. So with that said, I kind of like the fade here early in the season. If I'm going to stand by that, then this is too much of an inflated price. But again, without Cup, this is a totally, you know, it's, the game changer. you've got two guys on the two pass catchers that are questionable this week that are like maybe the only two pass catchers that really changed a team dramatically. And so it's going to be interesting. And that's the fun of doing this stuff for a living. You get to, you have to make those calls and analyze them, but we'll find out more, I guess, as the weekend goes on Cup. We probably won't know until the inactives come out, which will be the second, which is even more fun because that'll be the second half game. So we won't get those inactives.
I feel like we'll know on Cup. I don't think that one's going to wait until.
I think he's going to play, but
you think he's going to play? I don't think.
Oh,
so.
Actually now with the setback, no, he's not going to. Yeah, no, he's actually going to sit. So we should be fine on, we should know on that one. I think Kelce sits. And I think I had thought like before this setback, Cup was definitely playing.
Oh, I thought so too. But yeah, this whole thing is now just, it's getting worse and worse.
Week, you can't take any, you know, you just can't take chances on these guys in week one. So unfortunately, and I think I drafted him in a season long lead the day before it happened. I got him like seventh pick overall or something like that. So
he is now, you can, he's now, if in a sharp league, he's not going until like round three or four at this point.
He went ridiculously cheap in the auction last night, $41 something.
That's what I'm saying. Like it is dropping. So let's wrap it up there. The game plan NFL week one. First, I want to thank our sponsor, Mojo Fantasy. Make sure to check them out. That's an awesome game. It really is. Gives you that sportsbook feel if you're in California or Florida or Texas or any of the other 21 states that allow that style of game. So make sure you check it out. Download it on the Apple Store. And of course, check out the Sharp app. You've got all of the tools, the Proptimizer tool, the between the Proptimizer and the Sharp Report, which is inside information directly from one of the sharper sportsbooks that has been gold and tracked for multiple years, very profitable tails and fades in the Sharp Report. You get all of that. And John Statsational Alessia leading the team, designing amazing sports betting tools, the power rankings, everything. DFSA 20 on sharp.app gets you 20% off there. And of course, if you're not signed up at DFS Army, go now, get signed up. NFL 23 is the preseason code. Get your 15% off your VIP or NFL only membership. It is time. Get signed up right now. Access to all of our tools, the Dom Station, Optimizer, the cheat sheets, all the great stuff, the back testing, everything you need to smash at all levels of DFS. John, we'll be back together all season long, breaking down the games, talking bets, talking DFS. I'm excited. We'll see you guys next time.